Welcome to the KHSU Magazine. I'm Natalia Estrada, and I'm here once again in studio with Jennifer Fumiko Cahill and Thaddeus Greenson of the North Coast Journal. And we're going to talk about something really cool, elections, even though some people might not find them that cool.
Very, very exciting election night with an unexpected
landslide. Did you get any sleep?
I got about 45 minutes on the couch in Jen's office.
It's not a great couch.
We have
pity him.
We have kind of a hectic election night schedule in that we usually ship our paper to press Tuesday night, which we carve out kind of an exception for on election night because we feel it's really important. It's part of our core mission to get those results in the paper the next day so everybody can see them. So what we do is we ship the entire paper Tuesday night except for a page or two, which are going to hold the election results. And then we stay up all night pretty much covering the election and then getting the results up online as they come in. And then turn our blog posts and our online coverage into kind of a neat elections results page that's going to go in the paper the next morning, and that ships out to the printer at 6 a.m.
It's a long night for Thad and our assistant editor, Kim Ware, and for our production team. But I go home and sleep like a baby, which is the benefit of writing about French fries.
And we all curse her for it.
So to the 5th District, which is getting interesting. 33 votes separate these two candidates, but there's still more ballots to be counted, correct?
Yeah, very interesting. Steve Madrone is ahead of two-term incumbent Ryan Sundberg by 33 votes, as you said, 0.69% of the vote.
Nail biter.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was 4,700 some odd votes cast or counted so far in the election. So it's a tiny, tiny margin. There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,233 ballots outstanding in the 5th. And so one of the things everybody wants to know is how are those ballots going to break? Obviously, that's an unknown, especially with such a tiny margin in that race. But sleep deprived on the morning after Election Day, I decided I wanted to know. I wanted to, you know, have my best guess as to how this thing was going to shake out. And I thought the best indicator would be to look back at the last two elections in the 5th District and to look at how the vote changed after election night. So taking the final election night tally and then looking at how the results changed when the post-election update came out.
Kind of like looking for patterns in the 5th District.
Exactly. And we found a pretty distinct pattern. You know, it's only two elections, so it's with Supervisor Sundberg involved. So it's hard to, you know, say that this is a fully established pattern. Mm-hmm. But in 2010, Sundberg was running against three candidates. It was a four-candidate primary. And he finished election night, I think, with about 39% of the vote. And then when the final tally came, that number dropped down to 37%. So he his numbers dropped by about 2%. And then in 2014, when he was running against Sharon Latour, there was basically the same result. I think he finished election night with about 60% of the vote. And when the post-election tally came out, it was down to 58%. It's interesting to look at the patterns of how the election results come in. One thing that a lot of people were shocked about on election night was Sundberg was ahead in the vote-by-mail ballots, which are the first that are counted on election night, the ones that come in before election week. And then when the first results came back from McKinleyville, his lead actually grew a bit. So I think the Sundberg camp was probably pretty confident at that point. And then it wasn't until the last tally of the night when this flood of 5th District ballots came in that really Madrone jumped ahead. And a lot of people were shocked by that. But again, looking back at the patterns from 2010 and 2014, There was a pattern there of the last returns of the night really favoring Sundberg's opponents.
I think it really says that the 5th District, being one of the largest, I believe, is incredibly diverse, and their voting preferences aren't exactly set in stone.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it's also, I mean, part of the flow of results on election night is, you know, is tied to geography. Mm-hmm. You know, you go on election day, you go cast your ballot at a precinct and they run it through the live scan machine, which kind of tabulates the results. But at the end of the night, when the polls close, the poll workers actually have to take the memory cards out of those machines and then hand deliver them to the election office. So obviously a polling location in McKinleyville is going to get their memory card to the elections office a lot sooner than, say, one in Willow Creek. And so, I mean, what that tells me, and I don't know for sure, but is that it seems that the more urban areas of the 5th District favor Sundberg a bit, whereas maybe the more outlying areas don't.
It's also fair to say that an hour of napping on my couch, you wake up all beautiful mind and you just go deep into numbers.
Clearly.
My couch is magic.
Clearly, even though you said your couch wasn't comfortable.
It's not comfortable, but magic isn't about comfort.
Definitely not comfortable.
I think many would argue, but it did prove something that you were able to calculate these numbers with 45 minutes of sleep, which, by the way, I commend you.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
great. You. Speaking on less, maybe more hours of sleep.
I'm not any better for it. This week in my half of the book, we are going to have a number of wonderful things. We have a lot of events coming up, the Mad River Festival, all kinds of things are happening. And we also have a really great food recipe. You know, sometimes our Table Talk column is more newsy and, you know, sometimes it's reviews and then sometimes we have recipes. And this week we have the wonderful Wendy Chan, who is writing about...
The iconic Wendy Chan.
I know. Those of you who are deep into the Humboldt Foodies Facebook group know from Wendy Chan because you have looked at pictures of her sponge cakes and her afternoon tea parties
Just thinking about it.
I'm right there with you. That's how I found her. I just began stalking her on Facebook, as one does. And just know, everything you put on Facebook, if it's public, I'm looking at it and I might stalk you.
Noted.
Especially if it's food. Yeah. So I stalked her and I hunted her down and made her have coffee with me. And it took a while, but I finally convinced her to do some writing for us. And you know, she's not a native speaker, so English is her second language.
Okay.
She's actually from Guangdong, and she's which is a southern part of China. And she came here in the 80s, and she moved to Humboldt in the 80s. And she's a fantastic cook. And so this week she's writing about a recipe from her childhood, and her childhood in Guangdong, and she's explaining how to make homemade Chinese noodles. So, you know, homemade pasta is a thing that we have all tried and maybe failed at, but, you know, it's a sort of standard rite of passage for people who like to cook. Homemade Chinese pasta is, you know, something that maybe not a lot of people in Humboldt County have tried, but it's absolutely worth it, particularly this one. They're silver needle noodles, also called pin noodles, and they're about the length of your finger, and they're tapered on either side, and you just sort of roll them between your palms. And she recommends it as a thing to do with your kids. You sort of get this dough, and it's a rice flour dough.
Okay.
So, hey, gluten-free people. It's gluten-free that you won't hate, even if you can eat gluten. So you can roll this dough between your hands to form these little noodles, and then they can be, you know, fried in things like you would do a fried noodle in vegetable and meat, or just served with a hot chili oil, the recipe of which will be included, and her hot chili oil is amazing. And you will want to put it on everything, and you will lose perspective and have it, like, you'll be dipping pizza in it going, why? Is this right? Should I do this? But it's great. And she used to just eat them plain. You know, as she says in the article, she didn't have a lot when she was a kid, and so they just sort of ate these things plain coming out of the pot. And you know, it just is one of those, you can just imagine it. When you taste them, you can imagine it as that childhood pleasure of, you know, when your mom gave you, you know, some of the cake batter before it was baked, or, you know, your mom or your dad let you try something before it was done, you know, that fresh from the pot.
Yeah, I definitely get that coming from a Mexican-American home. So
right?
it's definitely connecting to me.
Yeah. And so to try that was really great. And the other wonderful thing about Wendy Chan, aside from her also being a lovely person, I know you have to be just awfully jealous because she's like perfect.
Oh, I'm very jealous of your coffee
terrible.
Date.
she occasionally brings food into the office before she finishes the recipe.
Everyone
when she's
at
working
the journal
on it.
Is lucky. So
I know.
Lucky.
So
okay.
Lucky.
I mean, the state of journalism is terrible. Like, the employment numbers are awful. Like, the future of journalism, like, every article that comes out is like, it's terrible. It's a doomed industry. But Wendy Chan comes in, like, with dumplings. So we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right.
The world makes sense again.
Yes.
Through dumplings.
It does. It does.
Oh, God. Yeah. So I'm really excited about
Me
reading
too.
That, about trying those noodles and just kind of, you know, experimenting, burning my hand in, like, pots. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll
I
do
want
that.
Everybody to just
I'll do
burn
that for
yourselves
Wendy Chan.
For the good. Yeah.
For the good of humanity and
yes.
for the good of your stomach
yes.
and your soul.
Yes. For your soul. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I appreciate it, as I do every week, and look forward to the journal once again.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.